You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Live from Florida's capital city, this is the Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness on Real Talk 93.3. Now, stop what you're doing and listen closely. It's time for the Jeff Cameron Show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Jeff Cameron Show 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Great to be with you on a Redemption Thursday. Speaking of which, we'll flash these babies up here in just a second. Don't forget to like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Hey, by the way, if you haven't signed up today for a War Chant membership, you really should. You really should. It's just $10. Is that right, Tom? Still $10 to get you a War Chant membership?
$10 through August of next year. So it gets you through football camp. You know, a lot of things are going to happen for this football program in that time. So maybe you just want to put your hands to the sky like the floating otter.
And there it is.
Look at me. What an experience this is at warchant.com. It's worth it. I mean, the dollar deal was stupid. This is slightly less stupid in terms of how cheap it is. You won't regret signing up with us at Warchant, and I hope you do.
I've decided I'm going to make it my personal quest to ride this. And, you know, we set a record, a company record, to get to 10,000 subscribers. Like, we did it in like a day. It was unreal how quickly we were able to do this. And, you know, now we're well over that. But I've decided I want us to hit that 13,000 plateau in the next, say, 2 days. So I'm going to request that all of you who have been sitting idly by doing nothing, twiddling your thumbs, get off that $10. Come on, come off that $10 and get you a warchant.com membership, everybody. That's what you do right there. Get off that $10. You'll see more of me. More of me and Tommy. You'll see more of Tommy as well. How about that? T, Lizzie, and me. And then if we throw in Aslan and Corey and Ira, goodness gracious. Think about that. You should want to give us $20. Maybe buy two memberships easily with all that goodness. And Michael Langston's covering the recruiting. Austin does a good job. We got so many good people. It's great.
I would think, and I wouldn't blame people, that by the end of football season, they're like, you know, I'll join War Chant, but I don't need any more Tom. There's a whole lot of, you know, we could take a break. I'll be ready when the spring game comes around, then he can come back in the fold. But read what Ira and Corey and Austin are doing.
I need a respite from Tom, is what you're saying.
Always on the damn channel. It's enough. Enough.
I told somebody one time, Tom, this is funny. I told somebody they came up to me and they asked me a sports question, and they apologized ahead of time. I was at an establishment and they said, "Hey, listen, I have a question for you. I love your show. I've listened to it for years, and it's a really nice guy. I appreciate that. It never gets old. It's always flattering and humbling and cool." But he apologized for it because I think he realized, like, oh man, the guy's out in his normal life now. He's not behind a mic. He's sitting down waiting on food to go, having a beer. I really need to do this to him, you know, because normally I sit in the corner at my favorite place, Gordo's, and I watch the game and I have a beer and I talk to somebody that and probably not talking about sports, you know. And so this guy did that and he goes, you probably get sick of this. I said, no, you know what I get sick of? Me. I get sick of me. I'm so tired of hearing me talk about anything. That you could have asked me what color the sky is, and I'm tired of hearing me say words. So it was like, it's not that you asked me anything about sports. It's just that I don't feel like talking. I answered his question, of course, and whatever. But yeah, you know how it is, Tom. When you wear headsets and you talk for a living, the last thing you want to do is continue to talk some more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Saturday night, whenever the show is, I mean, it's 6 hours, you know, yeah, like I can't take Scott Hansen for 7 hours, you know, and we're doing 6.5 and 7 hours of more talking than Scott Hansen does because he's got, you know, football to kick to. Sure, I'm sick of myself, but I've had the similar experience at the fine Capital City Country Club. Actually, last week I happened upon a fellow member who was an Auburn fan. Very nice gentleman. And he said, I don't mean to ask you about shop. I'm like, you know what? I'm one of the luckiest people in the world because when I talk shop, I talk about something that I would be anyway. I would be talking about.
Correct. I tell people that too.
What you got, man? Fire away. So
yeah. And it's funny that the thing you only ever get sick of is not the sports. It's just your own voice. You just get tired of hearing yourself talk. And that is, and we know plenty of people in this business who've never been tired of hearing themselves talk. I mean, that's all over this business, so
perhaps on the Florida State coverage empire, there might be some, not at War Chant, of course, but you go, no. Oh, just keep going.
Yeah just keep.
We're here for you. We're here for you.
TCU -2.5 against Baylor. I, for one, believe in this TCU team. All these damn doubters, Tom. TCU keeps making me money.
Okay, so let me add. Well, okay, yeah. There's one. That's one way to believe in a team. But what do you make of the argument? Because I'm hearing it in the national circles. I'm starting to listen to more college football talk radio because Florida State's going to come up more often. So
yes, they are.
I'm apt to listen to it more. But that TCU is among the most battle-tested programs in America because quietly the Big 12 doesn't have a lot of pushovers in the way of Georgia Tech or Syracuse or, well, Kentucky didn't do this, but Vandy or some other squads. Do you agree with that in handicapping this year and watching? Actually, I'm sure you watch a lot of Big 12 in Nebraska too. They're Big 10. See, I made a mistake in 1995. But you take my point that it seems like the Big 12 is more competitive week in, week out than a lot of these other Power 5 conferences.
Yeah, well, you could have used the example of TCU just ass-hammering Oklahoma earlier this year, 55-24, for example. That would be a good example. I do kind of think the TCU is battle-tested. I also, and this is one of those things where you can say that two things are true at the same time. I don't think TCU is one of the four best teams in the country. I do think TCU deserves to be ranked amongst the four best teams in the country. This is not a perfect system. We don't have a perfect system. Their resume is a really good resume. If you just go through the season, I mentioned the aforementioned 55-24 win over Oklahoma. At the time, Kansas was undefeated. TCU was the first to defeat them, and they did that on the road against a ranked Kansas team. 38-31. By the way, Kansas is a pretty good football team. Yeah. At the time, Oklahoma State was undefeated. TCU was the one to beat Oklahoma State, who was ranked. They won that game in overtime, came back to do it, 43-40. Kansas State is currently ranked and a good football team, and TCU beat them by 10 points, 38-28. So do I think they're good? Yeah, they just went on the road and beat Texas, who everybody and their brother said was going to win that game, and they thought Texas was due to turn the corner and all that. TCU didn't give up an offensive touchdown to Texas.
Yeah, that's the key, because Texas is putting up points. Nobody's accusing them of being a top 10 program right now at all. But you look at what they would have done to Alabama if their starting quarterback doesn't go down in that game. I mean, they would throw for 500 yards or 450 yards. And you're just looking for those little comparison points. September's different than November, I'll grant you. But TCU's defense was, I mean, lamented. And it was the thing that was holding them back in a lot of people's eyes. That's an impressive performance, no matter how you slice it.
Well, it was a dominant performance. Texas couldn't get to 200 yards. They got completely shut down. Bijan Robinson had 19 yards rushing.
Yep.
Ended his Heisman campaign. They ended his Heisman campaign. And he, by the way, is the best back we've seen since your boy with the Giants, who was with Penn State. Yeah, Saquon. So he's really good, and he got completely shut down. And Ewers played terrible. He was awful. He couldn't do a thing in this game. He threw it 39 times for, like, no yards. So I think that's the whole thing, is that basically TCU is battle-tested. TCU is really good at playing football this year. The resume suggests they should be ranked in the top four. I think, just my opinion, that's all we have to go on in the world of college football, is the eye test. Yeah, you look at the metrics, but they don't all play each other, and they don't all play the same schedule. And they all, you know, so we don't get what we get in other sports. And I don't think TCU is – I don't think TCU is one of the four best teams. I do think they're definitely a top 10 team. But it doesn't really matter because, look, these other teams did play games and they lost some of them. So they can't supplant them. I don't know. Until TCU loses, they're going. They're going. And I picked them this weekend, -2.5, which means they're going to lose by 28 to Baylor.
And this will be on freezing cold takes. There. Yeah.
That's fine. UConn +10.5. I don't know. I just decided to get with the getting, everybody. I don't how this has happened. I don't. It's amazing, but they have totally turned their season around in year one with your boy there. I'm surprised by that, but hey, good on him. +10.5. Arizona +4. Arizona has been playing really good football lately. They've hung in a lot of games and they're catching points against a Washington State team that I liked earlier in the year. I think they're waning a little bit. I think Arizona's playing inspired football. I took them. Louisville, NC State. I took Louisville here. I've just kind of a hunch that NC State's about to pack it in. North Carolina -21. That's because Georgia Tech may also just outright quit. No starting quarterback, still have to make a coaching hire. They're a mess. I just will lay the 21. UCLA +2 against Southern Cal. Tennessee -22 against South Carolina. They need style points. UCLA's defense isn't terrible, and USC is banged up on that other game. Kansas State, just mentioned, aforementioned, -7.5. Good football team, really good football team. Not a team that you really want to play right now. They play really good complimentary football. I like them. Auburn -5.5 against Western Kentucky. They're going to continue to play hard for Cadillac. And then finally, Wake -10. I think Syracuse is about to call it a day as well. We're at the time of the year where teams will outright go through the motions. And you're just trying to identify teams that are either highly motivated and need to win, or need to win with style points, say Tennessee, for example, and even TCU, for example, not wanting to create doubt. Don't go out there and beat Baylor 10-7. I mean, we got to see something here so you don't get bumped. So you're trying to find those kinds of teams. And then other teams that thought they were going to be something and they had a terrible letdown. Something happened. The player got hurt. They lost a game they shouldn't have. You know, I think NC State kind of falls in that category right now. You can't lose to Boston College. You can't, you know, these kinds of things. So I'm looking for the quit watch for Syracuse, the quit watch for NC State, quit watch for several of these teams and others that are still motivated, either trying to save a coach's job or get a coach hired or one of those types of motivations.
Yeah, the two SEC picks at the bottom half of the ledger are my favorite. Tennessee with the style points. You got South Carolina, and I'm assuming it's Vandy next week. Is that their, you know, fixed rivalry game in the final week of the season? So this is just full speed ahead, you know, and that makes a ton of sense to me. And then the Auburn pick too. They're this time of year with interim coaches. We've seen it with Coach O and a couple of stops on the West Coast and at LSU. The tryhards. There are some teams that are trying really hard, and you're like, why are you so invested?
Yeah,
because they're trying to save a guy, or they're just inspired because somebody else is gone that they hated. They hated their guts. So some teams are actually sprinting to the finish line, even though they have no business with their record to be sprinting to the finish line. So I love Auburn for that reason too. So those are my two favorites.
All right. Well, there we go. Those are the picks, and hopefully we're looking at a robust 10-0 this week. I still have not had an undefeated weekend. I had the 1-8-2. I had 2 8-2s this year, but I've not had a 10-0 this year, and I think each of the last few years I've had a 10-0. So I've also had a 1-9. I've had a 1-9. So that's out there. Not this year. I've had some bad weeks, though. I had a 2-8 this year. I did have that. So, you know, not going to lie. This has not been daddy's best year on the gambling front. I have not done nearly as well this year as I did last. And as always, friends, do not gamble money you can't afford to lose. I just want to say that because I, more than once, I got an email this year. I'm like, come on, be grownups out there. Be grownups now. I shouldn't have to tell you what to do with your money. Be grownups. But I don't want to feel bad. So I'm just letting you know, don't gamble money you don't have. If you can't lose that money, I don't care if it's $5, don't gamble it. I can lose that money. I've got it. Doesn't bother me. All right, there we go. That's I'm just saying that. That's the way it works.
That's that Orange Theory money.
No, I'm just saying. Don't, everybody's got a number. I heard from a friend of the program, meaning Florida State, that Post Malone lost $600,000+ last week at a casino out in Vegas while they were there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the musician Post Malone.
Yeah.
Apparently, he was paid an ungodly sum to come perform there and promptly blew $600,000+ of said sum gambling. And it was pretty cool about it. He laughed it off. Imagine being that kind of rich.
Yeah, was it on the tables, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Because
I think that's one of the great things.
Nobody would know if it was sports betting, you know?
Right. Yeah. I think it's hilarious. Vegas is one of those rare places where professional athletes, musicians, actors, dignitaries, they can go to Vegas and sit down next to like Larry playing poker, and Larry won't be a jerk about it. Oh, hey, Post Malone, how are you? All right. You going to hit that? All right. There we go. All right. Good. You got to, right? Yeah. You see, he's got a bust hand. Don't be careful. Yeah, so like it's great. That interaction happens all the time with people just walk into a casino. They're like, they're not going to bother me. Pretty cool.
That was in New Orleans on that Friday night. That was me on the blackjack table. Not that I was Post Malone, just talking to random people who I think were big money boosters for Florida State. And I look at them like, what should I do? And they're like, do this. I'm like, all right. And then there was one time, this one guy, he said, make sure you hit there. I go, no, I'm not. I'll stay. And then I hit, and the rest of the table got screwed. They hated me for about 5 minutes, but then that's the fun of it.
Yeah. You got to know when you have to wear one for the table. That is part of it.
So, well, it was the dealer. I hated that dealer. It's like, you remember that? The guy was like, and 10 and 15. And you're just like, all right, man, just this guy was the pits, and the Harris should never have the pits of the world in the pits.
No. You want to have great dealers who have a lot of fun with you and interact. And actually, most dealers that I've ever encountered, the good ones, they actually help the people betting. They help the gamblers. They'll be like, yeah, listen, man, you're going to want to hit that. You're going to want to, you know, like they offer it up, and then they tell you why if you ask them. So like, I don't work for Vegas, but if you ever go out there and you're a novice and you're worried that you're not going to know what to do, find a cheap table, a $5 blackjack table, and sit down and talk to the guy and tell or woman and say, I don't know what I'm doing. They'll help you. They do. They'll teach you how to play the game. Yeah. Chef Cameron Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio War Chant TV. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
I watch the rain, it settled in, disappeared for days again. Most of us were staying in, lazy like the sky. Letters flew across the wire, filtered through a million lies. The whole world smelled like burning ties the day John Henry died.
This segment with a weird question to you, Tom. There's an article in The Athletic today I will direct your attention towards. It's entitled, "Is the Slap Shot Dying?" I thought you could enlighten me. I didn't read the article. I just saw it.
Okay. So not reading the article, I think it's one of the least efficient plays for a defenseman to make at the point, because block shots have gone from a badge of honor for only the toughest of players. Maybe
commonplace by everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it happens all the time. Block shot counts in games exceed sometimes the shot on goal total themselves. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And that leads to odd man rushes going the other way. But it'll never go away in the one-timer game. That would be dumb. So
second part of that is why players are abandoning hockey's signature offensive weapon. Dun, 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 dun. Oh. So I just thought you'd want to read that. I just
The last thing I'll say, I know people would rather me go on for 10 minutes about this, but I'll keep it short, is that back in the day, when you see those highlights in your brain, you old-timers of the slap shot, yeah. Goalies were wearing like 5 pounds of padding. Now they're these big Michelin men in net, and you can't get it by them. You're better off deking and making it precise.
Yeah, and they were also little dudes. Now they're big dudes on top of the padding. Yeah.
They were like second baseman in baseball. That's how goalies were built, and now they're 6'5" and wingspans of a power forward.
So there's a new book out. I was talking to you about this. This is a sports book. It's about boxing. And the author, Silver, makes the case that boxing is the only sport that he's aware of where he thinks he can make, and he sets about the process of doing it, a case that the boxers of yesteryear are better than the boxers of today. And that in no sport, and no other sport, is that true. That baseball players of the 1920s are not better than baseball players today. Football players of the 1920s are not better than football players today. Basketball on down the line, nobody's better in 1932 in that sport than somebody in 2022. Bigger, stronger, faster, evolution, end of story. But that in boxing, because there are weight classes, so 140 would be fighting 140. 180 would be fighting 180. You're not going to have this crazy disparity in size the way you would an offensive lineman in 1957 being 6'1", 260 pounds, as opposed to 6'6", 350 these days. You know, like that. I remember the Hogs of the Washington Redskins, as they were known at that time, were the first 300-pound line across. I remember when that happened. That was a thing in my lifetime. Nowadays, there aren't too many Power 5 conference teams in college football that don't have 300-pound-plus players across the board on the offensive line. It's crazy. But that boxing, that wouldn't hold true. And that because the sport lost its longtime savvy career trainers, Customato, all these guys, right? You know, Ferdy Pacheco, these guys that were in the boxing game for 60 years. They were in the corner of Jack Dempsey and then Muhammad Ali. I mean, like all these different, you know, that knowledge is going away. There aren't enough of those guys out there anymore. The wise elders that taught it and passed it on down. And that technique is going away in favor of flash, and not enough boxers defend themselves the way they used to defend. They'd rather take a punch than throw a punch now. That used to be a different deal. And it's a fascinating book. It's worth your time. And I'm just starting it now, and I've gotten into it. It's really good. But it is really kind of cool to think, well, you're talking about hockey and how the game has changed, the sport has changed. I like this discussion, period. I like having the larger discussion of what players from back. And it's always been understood that there are outliers of every generation. There are transcendent players of any generation that I think you could make a good argument would be starters or plus players in today's game, no matter the sport. You could do it with a pitcher from 1930. You could do it with, a hitter, a football player, a basketball player. You could do it. You can find that guy that was so transcendently good for their era that you might be able to make the case.
Yeah, I mean, a couple names that come off the top of the head in baseball: Clemente, Nolan Ryan. If fastball is accurate at what they, you know, projected his actual velocity to be by today's standards, and the propensity in this era to strike out anyway, the numbers that guy would have put up would be astronomical.
And they're already astronomical. They're already unbelievable.
I mean, but they would be untouchable, the likes of which, I don't even know. Pick your ultimate sports stat that will never be touched. In golf, I think Nicklaus and Johnny Miller would have been absurd with technology today, with the distance plus control that those two had, with weird grooves and a golf ball that looked like the Caddyshack logo rather than the performance that they had today. And then in general, you could make that argument. I mean, Jim Brown, of course, Walter Payton. But with today's modern training, those guys, I mean, it would just be amazing what sports science combined with those body types from yesteryear could do together in the modern era. It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it would be really cool. And one of the things, I was looking at a number here. It's on my phone. I was texting this to somebody when I was talking about this book, and it blew me away. I can't find the number right now. But I will say, to your point, human physiology hasn't changed that much. The techniques, the equipment, the nutrition, the training methods have all changed dramatically. I mean, so you have to find a guy who physiologically could have competed, right? So if you're going back and you, by the way, it hurts my feelings that you reference Walter Payton as the old guy that could play today, since I watched his entire career. But why don't we go back to the 50s, Tom, please? Can we not go back to the 80s? I mean, Walter Payton played in the 80s and 90s. Can we not? Anyhow, so I'll just say this. Like, next thing you're going to go with, I don't know. I mean, maybe a guy like Emmitt Smith could still. I mean, come on. So you would have to find a Jim Brown who was a freak, or a Jim Thorpe who was considered to be one of the greatest athletes in the history of humanity, right? I mean, he could do everything. Like, somebody who was – listen, I will say this. I know he played before integration, and I understand the game has changed dramatically. He also played before the slider was invented. I have a suspicion Babe Ruth would make it in the majors today. If you go look at those numbers, he was so preternaturally great. He once hit more home runs in a single season than entire teams did in the American League. He was also an all-world pitcher that had an ERA under one in the postseason in over 31 career innings. He also had a 27-inning scoreless streak and dominated in the World Series. So there's a guy that I have a suspicion at 6'3", 200 and whatever he was, a giant for his day, would have adapted, would have figured it out.
Whose bat was ridiculous. Could you imagine it was a light bat? When we went to Fenway for that tour, it's just a rod. It's just a rod.
It was just a fence post.
It looks like something you would use in construction. It doesn't look like something you would use to hit a baseball with. There was no sawed down, thinned out handle. It was just as thick as it was in the sweet spot. That's what it was in the handle of the bat. There was no knob at the bottom.
I don't know how he swung it, man. I mean, when you look at the weight of it, the size of it, like, he got it through quick too. You look at it, you're like, good God, he swung the hell out of that thing. And it's monstrous.
Yeah, it is. Imagine him with, you know, the technology of today. Let him go to Rosenblatt or the TD Ameritrade in college and let him go play in the College World Series. That ballpark wouldn't hold him. Oh, no.
Let him. I mean, listen, give him a maple bat with like a pencil thin handle that doesn't break, you know, like, and he, oh my goodness. Yeah. The bat speed he would have had. But anyhow, that's a fun discussion, but it is a rare discussion to have when you say, not only am I making the case that this guy could have competed in this era, because there are guys, Bullet Bob Hayes, he could have competed. He ran a 4.240. He would have competed in this day and age. Yeah, those kinds of guys. But it's a rare case to make when you say that the entire sport was better 60 years ago than it is currently. Like, that is crazy to think about. And you may not agree with it, but he makes a really compelling case. And he brings in a bevy of current boxers, old boxers, trainers, people from the world of boxing, you know, that have. Burt Sugar wrote extensively about this at one point. He quotes Burt Sugar's many, many, many years of expertise covering boxing. And by the way, I miss Burt Sugar. Did I ever say that before on the air? I miss Burt Sugar. I like the world knowing that Burt Sugar was in it better. I just thought he was the quintessential awesome reporter of all time. Burt freaking Sugar. Every time you saw him, you're like, that's a newspaper man. Look at him. That's a newspaper man. Had his cigar and his cool cap.
Man, he's drunk by 10 in the morning. He's got to write 700 words. No big deal. He's not going to do it. What's deadline? 6? I'll start at 5:30 and I'll phone it on over.
But not just that, Tom. Those are going to be the best 700 words ever put to paper.
Right.
That's the thing. It's like
he wouldn't type it. He'd call it in and make you know, some punk. He was like, type it in.
And he would just wax poetically for 30 minutes. So that poor kid would be typing away. And then Bert's like, there it is. There's your column. And then you would go and read it the next morning and you'd be like, my God, Bert did it again. That is fantastic. Old Burt Sugar still out here kicking ass.
Yeah. Tell you what, he must have been out with Summerall last night. He always goes to another level when him and Pat go
out together. It's the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. We'll solve for the future next with my friends at ISF.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk
for the future with my great partners at ISF. You guys know about ISF. I've talked about them at length and for good reason. They know you want to do amazing things and you have grandiose visions and goals for the future and you work hard to try to move your agency forward while navigating very unique challenges that are inherent to government operations. ISF is an IT strategy firm. And they'll help you out. They've been doing it for over 40 years. They've served state government and business clients all across the country, not just here in Tallahassee, but all across the country. They've had well over 80 unique clients. They've served on over 1,500 projects. I've mentioned before that they're very collaborative. If you're in this world, then you know of which I speak, and you want somebody to come in, not just tell you what to do, but work with you, hear your ideas out, and just streamline the process and make it easier for you to get it done. And that's what ISF does. So we want to thank them, and their partnership has been very rewarding. I love talking to Jonathan and learning more about how they work. I'm always fascinated by that. But they have been collaborative with us as well. Solving for the future lately has been a lot of fun because we've been able to kind of project, Tom, areas of real significant growth that would help Florida State win football games. We've pondered some big picture questions about Florida State, but they're all centered right now around what will it take for Florida State to be great? You know, and I, this is such a much better and, you know, I think uplifting question to ponder and discuss because it presupposes they're good. And that is really nice to do. We have not been able to do that in a very long time. So I do presuppose they're good. They are good, period. They're a good football team. You know it. I know it. and the most extreme doubter on the planet at this point knows it as well. Florida State's good. They might argue to what degree of good. We might argue, are the numbers believable? Because I think there's some phony numbers out there. I know what the numbers are. The numbers are the numbers. They were amassed legitimately, but I don't think they're a great representative in all cases of what the team is, let's say. But I think they're very good. I do. And I think we can now ask the question, what will it take for them to be great?
Yeah, I think that just begins, and this is fun. It matches the holiday season because it's almost like a shopping list needs to be put together.
Let's do it right now. Let's do it like ISF. Let's solve the future. What do we have to do? What does Florida State have to do? I still slip with the we all the time. What has to happen for Florida State to be great?
That's we, man. Coaches come and go, players come and go, but you know, we'll always be there supporting the team, and our career will come and go. But when it's over, we'll still. I'll go to Doak, and you'll go to Doak. We'll say, "Oh, remember when we covered this group? This is okay." So how about we go item for item?
Okay,
so I'll raise an item, and sometimes I want to go in order of importance. I'll just say a thing. We need a dynamic kick returner. That's one thing we need to be great. I'm going to give you the softball. I'm going to take a tough one because Trey Benson can't be your guy next year returning kicks. And Sam McCall certainly can't be your guy next year returning kicks. So I don't know if that means Winston Wright is healthy. That's something that he specialized in before he got to campus, and he was going to be Florida State's kick returner. Maybe he gets up to full speed for next season and he's your guy. Could it be Hakeem Williams or another one of the, you know, maybe Rodney Hill, because they won't be concerned about a red shirt, but they need to upgrade at that particular position so that if we do return it inside of our five, it's actually a smart thing to do and not a ridiculous thing to do.
I'll expound a little bit on that notion. You're saying Benson can't be because he's too valuable as a running back, not because he can't, because he's a good kick returner.
Now, if he comes back next year, if you're on the path to being great, if he's going to go down for any reason, it's because he's running the football, not returning kicks.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. And the other reason that you would bring it up is the right one. You can't have McCall return kicks, period. He's just terrible at it. I don't know why they ever thought he'd be good at it for whatever reason. I've never seen him return a kick with any amount of gusto ever. So you would have gotten two tries out of me. Coach Cameron would be like, all right, let's see what you got. The second time you jogged would be the last. We're not doing this anymore. That's it. All right, I'm with you there. So I won't go big ticket item here since you started way down at the bottom with just kick returner. I kind of like that.
Very small thing on the wish list. Yeah.
This is going to take a significant leap up, but not all the way to the top. They need another dynamic recruiter of the high school ranks. They have got to get somebody that is an elite recruiter in the high school ranks on this staff. You have a very good one in Atkins. I think Norvell holds his own. He's not great. But you don't have really anybody else who's kicking ass and taking names and recruiting on this staff. You just don't. They need to get one.
I agree. The one thing I'd say is, you know, this might be like driving a boat versus driving an all-wheel car or a SUV like you have, in that they had so much crap stacked up against them, some of their own doing,
right,
that I think the 2024 recruiting class will be a better indicator of who's good and who's not. Because if you're not good next year with the 2024 class, now that you're working off of hopefully a 9 or a 10 win campaign here, then you're not good at your job, period. I am willing to pause a little bit on some of these position coaches or coordinators because of the COVID year, the lack of relationships established, lack of history in the state of Florida, and then 2021's disastrous campaign and the loss to Jacksonville State. Does this year allow for a more fair playing field in the recruiting world? I agree with you that you need one ace. You need one ace. Yep. But I don't want to blanket statement say that none of these guys can get it done, because I believe they're now working with real momentum for the first time in their tenure here at Florida State. Some of that was their doing, and some of that was absolutely out of their control.
Well, and the reason somebody might say fairly, why do you need, this isn't 5 years ago. This isn't 10 years ago, Jeff. Why do you have to have an elite recruiter, a guy who is just really good? Jimbo is an elite recruiter, for example. Like, somebody might say, why do you need that in the era of NIL? You really don't. You need to have money. That's what you need to have. That's not completely true. You give money to the guys that you establish relationships with.
Right.
And that is, it is paramount that you have somebody boots on the ground at these high schools talking to these coaches and kids to gain access to relationship building. Once you build the relationship with the kid, yeah, you're going to have to pay him if he's really good, because somebody else is going to offer him money. Somebody else who's built a relationship with the kid. So that has to happen. And I don't know that there's a dynamic one of those on our staff currently. I think we got a guy who's really good at it, at his position. And then I think we got a whole lot of average to below average. Some of them are outright bad.
I agree. And even Atkins this year, I mean, we'll see how they close. But it hasn't been a home run where you're saying in this cycle, oh my God, there's five more coming in. You know, it's they're doing okay. If they close Simmons, that'd be a big thing for them. But you're right. I've come full circle. I have not. I've gone 180.
You've done a 180?
I've done a 180 on this. I thought that it would be more important to keep developers where they are as coaches and then just go spend the cash. But guess what you get to do if you've got a good recruiter? Spend less cash.
Correct.
Because Miami right now, for example, is having to pay a premium to retain the kids that have already said yes because they're not showing it on the field. And there's also debate about how good they are as recruiters in general. So you got to pay more if you're not as good of a recruiter. And when you've got less in the way of assets than some of the teams you're competing with, every dollar counts. So the better the recruiter, the less money you have to spend on a kid that you form a relationship with, because you have formed a relationship with them. So that's why I'm doing the 180 on that.
All right. So you get to propose the next one. The question is, this is for our solving for the future. For those just jumping in, Tom and I are solving for the future. And the question is, what will it take for Florida State to be great?
At least one more, and probably two, but at least one more bona fide badass in the interior of the offensive line. Maurice Smith is a great story this season. In camp, we all were waiting for Caden Lyles to take over that job. He goes down for the year. Maurice's status for LSU was up in the air. He basically hasn't come off the field since. And that's been huge for an offensive line that hasn't been the healthiest this season. So it's been a good story. But you need at least another guard or another center, interior offensive lineman, probably two, to get to a place where when it's third and two or third and goal from the two, you can run the ball up the middle and it doesn't take a Herculean effort by a running back to get there to pay dirt. If you want to be great, you've got to be able to do that. And Florida State just can't right now. So as good as the offensive line has been this year and as high flying and explosive as this offense is, and that's worth putting on a pedestal, they still lack the ability to be great insofar as if you're going against the best defensive lines in the country and everybody in the world knows you're running straight ahead, they can't do it yet. So to be great, they need better offensive line play.
Last one, because we're limited by time, obviously there's going to be a confluence of several things that have to come together for Florida State to be great. Some of it's personnel related. You used offensive line right there. I would argue they need to go out and get an elite quarterback. Jordan Travis ain't going to be here forever, and I don't think they have an elite quarterback on the roster. So I would go find one. But that's an aside. That's just another thing that I would throw out there. And then from there, the last answer and the most important answer eventually gets to money. They just need more money for the collective to utilize in asset retention and acquisition. Yep. You're going to need more of it. That ain't going away. We're stuck in the wrong conference to have this full-scale war on our hands trying to compete in the world of recruiting. We're going to be operating at a deficiency. So that is the final answer, is a lot more money for the collective to be able to continue to compete.
All right. Now just go erase it. Go make it happen. Everybody go.
We should just stay right here, Tom. We'll just stay right here. We got 5 minutes left in the show. I'm not breaking. We're going to let the people stay here.
Ooh, gonna, all right.
We're going to let the people stay here.
I've got a little segue animation for you then.
There. Well, are you? Oh, well. So hold on. Don't do it yet. Oh. I wanted to pull something up here that I found out yesterday about my friends at Tallulah. Go ahead. Now you can do it.
Oh man. See, that was the segue. The segue was from.
Oh, there.
That's what I was talking about.
That's my man.
There you go. It's the touchdown putter, and then there it is. Look at that. See? It's clean.
Happiest animal on planet Earth is that otter. He's like, I'm just having a good day, guys. It's beautiful out here. Look at the way I float. Look at the way I float, everybody. I float better than you. Man, it's just a
that's me. Every time I saw a counter, I saw everybody pulling against Miami. I'm just like, that could be.
Yeah, there we go. Could be. Hey, did we cover last night?
One of the two.
One of the two. We got one of the two.
So Edmonton had a hard luck loss. It was 3-1, but it was a hard luck loss. And then the other game I said was betting with the streak. Ottawa over Buffalo.
Yep.
Ottawa covered, and then some. They won by 3 goals. So
you're damn right they did. So 1-1 last night. Find another hockey game while I tell everybody about my friends at Tallulah, because here you go. Get this, everybody. Tallulah now has a huge store in Thomasville, Georgia, like right next to Thomasville, Georgia. So if you're listening to this, they're neither near there or there. Go see them. They got all kinds of good stuff. They've got a new Kava bar. The Kava's and those Kratom drinks as well. Those are delicious. Delicious. They've got a new one in Bannerman Crossing. That is their second location in Bannerman Crossings. A beautiful space. Lots of Kava. Lots of Kratom drinks. Really tasty. They've got the former Sodo location in Midtown. That opens coming up on Monday. Huge amounts of mushrooms and vape selection, all that good stuff. Get that? They sell CBD for pets as well, Tom. You can help out your nervous pet. They got anxiety when you leave. They don't like the sound of thunder. The neighbor pisses them off. Drop a little CBD on them. You're all good. They're good. It's perfect. So, and it's healthy. It's okay. You can do it. So my friends at Tallulah, they're everywhere these days. They're opening up stores left and right. I should have invested large sums of money in Tallulah. They are getting to be huge.
So with that said, here's a huge play for you tonight.
I like it.
I will go, and don't play it big. I'm just saying the payout is good.
Oh, bet all of it, guys.
Oh, no. Didn't we just get done talking about responsibility? The Lightning minus a goal and a half for a plus 196 provision. Here's why I like them in this spot. They're going against Calgary. The goaltending for Calgary has been sorry this year. Jacob Markstrom is their starter. He gives up over 3 goals a game. The watermark for a good save percentage for a goalie is around 91%, 910 save percentage. Mm-hmm. He's at 886, been an awful start, and that's their starting goalie. So now Tampa played their backup on Tuesday. The big guy, the big cat, Andrei Vasilevsky in goal for the Lightning tonight. This all points to what I believe to be at least a 2-goal victory for Tampa. But here's the crazy part. It's plus 196. The value is off the charts. So Lightning minus a goal and a half, plus 196 tonight.
I love the process, Tom. Even if it doesn't cash, that's the right process. If your process is right, eventually you're coming out on the right side more than you're not. So just hang in there with that process. That's good work out of you. All right. That's it. That's all for T. Lizzie and me. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Same setup. These are the 2 days you're using to change the inside of the studio. So we're going to be in here the next 2 days at least.
I was going to say, hopefully the last 2 days. Okay. See, you're the better liaison about this stuff than I am. So.
Yeah, I know it's today and tomorrow. So we're definitely back here tomorrow. And I'll have the candle ready to go on a Friday edition of the show. So we'll get after it.
Also, wake up War Chant tonight on War Chant TV. Be sure to tune in. I am confirming the time right now, but it is 6 o'clock tonight. 6 o'clock live on War Chant TV.
Perfect. All right. Until tomorrow, be well, everybody. We love you, and we'll talk to you on a Libations Friday. That'll be fun. Enjoy the football, everybody.